This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Hey, you know it's Taz and Moose. You know it's Taz and Moose. Hey.
Ah, yes, a good Monday morning to one and all. It is Taz and the Moose with you right here on CBS Sports Radio. If you can't play a talking number to call, 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227.
Attention hotline fans.
As we come to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios, national mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, and make sure to mortgage confidently. You've got Mikey B and Pete the Body across on the other side at the controls. AB, Andrew Bogish with your updates throughout the course of the next 3 hours. Sirius 213 XM 201 961 on the app. And make sure to hit us up on Twitter, Instagram, at Taz and the Moose, at Mark Malusis with a C, at Official Taz with a Z. What's going on, Taz? How you doing, man?
Good, Moose. You got to be on cloud nine, my friend. My weekend was splendid. Hopefully yours was, but I know yesterday closed your weekend because of the orange.
Yes, congrats. The orange. March on, amazingly enough. Knocking off Michigan State. It was, it's been an unbelievable NCAA tournament. It was stunning in nature. The fact that Syracuse does march on to the Sweet 16 and beats the Spartans and Tom Izzo and Michigan State as the 3 seed in that Midwest region, as the Sparties playing a home game, basically, and could not deal with that Syracuse 2-3 zone and went, I think, 0-13, 0-14 down the stretch of that particular basketball game. And Syracuse is able to do enough offensively to march on to the next round. What has been, I mean, Taz, just an unbelievable tournament.
Amazing.
Virginia gets knocked off, first 1 seed ever to lose to a 16 to UMBC. Xavier blows a huge lead yesterday to Florida State last night, I should say. They're out. North Carolina gets their doors blown off by Texas A&M. I mean, on and on and on we go with top seeds losing and falling short in this NCAA tournament. It's been really unreal.
The UMBC deal, I think, UMBC defeating Virginia. My bad, Virginia on Friday. That was amazing. I mean, I'd love to know the rating. I don't know when the ratings come out on these things. I'd love to know how many people watched that. That was unbelievable. The Retrievers showed up at UMBC, a little spot right there in Baltimore County, in Maryland, just showed up and won and shocked the world. They didn't seal a deal yesterday to go into the Sweet 16, but that was impressive. But back to your orange, man. I got to tell you, watching that game. Okay, Michigan State, the Spartans. I had them winning, my bracket's done now, right? I had them winning the whole tournament. So me and about 5 billion other people had Michigan State, Sparty winning the whole thing. So bracket buster Jones got it. But when Frank Howard fouled out for the Cuse around 6 minute mark, 7 minute mark, somewhere in that world, I figured, oh boy, okay, done. Orange is done. But Michigan State couldn't score. They couldn't score in the last five minutes, whatever it was. It was nuts. They couldn't. Had a lot of opportunities, Moose.
No, they did. And just missed threes, missed shots at the rim.
Oh, my God.
Bridges throwing up air balls. The Spartans staggered offensively. And, the Howard call was the right call. Initially, he was trying to get over and back. And when the Spartan player was up in the air, did use his right forearm to kind of cut him off a little bit while he was up in the air. And he fouls out of that game. And Syracuse was able to just do enough offensively to find a way to win it. It's a great win. It just shows you anytime you go up against the zone, especially as long as Syracuse is, I think they are the biggest team in NCAA basketball this year. They're not, they're long and lean. When you go up against that 2-3 zone and you're unaccustomed to doing it, especially the variations that Jim Boeheim throws up in that 2-3 zone as well, and you don't hit your outside shots, Taz, you are going to struggle. And you saw the Spartans struggle last night. And here's Boeheim after the game talking about the fact of, Michigan State playing at home, he thought it hurt the Spartans.
I think one thing that happens, it happened 1 year to us,
the home court is a great thing, the advantage, but when you're in a close game at the end, you feel like, you know, we're home, we need to win this game. You start to feel that a little bit. And the last couple jump shots they threw up weren't in the, and they were in the ballpark.
Yeah, not even close.
No.
I mean, not even close. And, you know, Bridges, Miles Bridges struggled all afternoon long.
He did.
And he threw up a couple air balls late in the last 5 minutes of the game, especially from behind the arc. He really struggled as the Spartans underwhelmed. But, you know, you hit upon it, Taz. You know, I don't know if I – we've had a lot of close calls, right, with 16s falling short against one seeds, right? And everyone saying it's going to happen one of these years. It's going to happen one of these years. And I don't know if DeAndre Hunter doesn't suffer the fractured wrist and the broken wrist and done for the year, the sixth man of the year in the ACC. I don't know if Virginia loses to UMBC. However, he was not there. Virginia played poorly, their offensive struggles, and as Tony Bennett said after the game, could not deal with the four-guard alignment of the Retrievers, could not deal with their swing four. They were knocking down threes all over the place, hit, I think, 50% from behind the arc. Virginia struggled offensively, and their mainstay is their defense for the Virginia Cavaliers, and it was just not there night long on Friday night. As UMBC pulls off the stunner of stunners and knocking off the number one seed in the overall tournament, and that is the Cavs of Virginia.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it was, they smoked them. I mean, UMBC smoked them. I mean, it was, what, it was like 74 to 55 or 54, something like that. They smoked them. And you know, I mean, Hunter being out was huge, obviously. I don't know if it's whatever, that many points huge, you know. I mean, that UMBC.
I think it's more defensively huge than anything else.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, look, they're the Cinderella. They're the ones you wanted to see go all the way, but they fell short. UMBC, I'm talking about yesterday. But yeah, the Virginia thing was a shocker. It was a shocker to me. And the Michigan State thing was a shocker to me. I just, you can't, it's, how about Xavier? Xavier, they I mean, them too, they fell. I mean, it's who, I think it just shows, Moose, there's so much parity now. You know, and we'll get into that, I guess. But it's crazy the way the landscape has changed over the years and see that the Blue Bloods are, well, not so blue.
Or falling short. You're right. Here's Tony Bennett, the Virginia coach, after the game on Friday night, giving all the credit to in the world to UMBC.
We talk about it all the time. With the adulation, the praise, it comes. And we've got a lot of that this year. And then on the other side, there'll be blame and people pointing that out. But that can't, in the end, you know, define these guys and our team or us. If you play this game and you step into the arena, this stuff can happen. And those who haven't been in the arena or in the competition, maybe they don't understand that.
Well, and he basically hammered home in those comments, similar style and fashion, in the one-on-one he gave to CBS after the game. And that is, number one is, gave all the credit in the world to UMBC. Number two is, he mentioned stepping into that arena, Taz, and he said he told his team that you can have unbelievable highs, but you have to understand that when you step in and you're competing, you can have a humbling lows as well. He said we had a record-breaking year, set the wins mark for the ACC in the regular season, and now obviously we're the first number one seed to fall to a 16 in NCAA tournament history. You know, he said we got our butt whooped, couldn't deal with them, couldn't deal with them defensively, couldn't deal with them. And the way that they shot the ball from behind the arc was very, very classy in a very, very tough spot. You expect that from Bennett. He's a good coach. He's a good man.
Yep.
He cares about his players. And that is going to be a bitter pill to swallow for Virginia, a team that was not expected to be all that good this year. And his style and fashion in which he coaches that team and the style in which they play enabled their very, very tough beat. A tough team to play against in the regular season. Unfortunately, when you get into those games where you are not an offensive team, Taz, and you struggle defensively, and then you're trying to find a way to get yourself back into it, and you're not an offensive-minded team, it's hard to find those points. And you saw that. Once that game got out of hand, Virginia never tightened it up.
No, they couldn't. They couldn't. I mean, UMBC rolled with that momentum. Look, yeah, you know, UMBC went into the game with a chip on their shoulder. We've seen that not just in hoops, but in sports, pro sports and college sports. We've seen that the underdog coming in with a chip on its shoulder, fight from underneath, as I like to say, and they came in with that. Hey, you know what? No one's betting on us to win this thing. We're a 16. Virginia's a 1. They are Virginia, and you know what? Hey, we got a little help here because one of the top guy is out. So imagine their coaching staff must have coached those kids up at UMBC and said, look, we got a chance here. No one's – the pressure's on Virginia. It's not on us.
No.
That had to be what was said behind closed doors.
Oh, no question about it. And then you get to some of the upsets over the weekend as well. And you hit upon Xavier as they collapse late against Florida State. And then – really, the stunner of stunners was Cincinnati. I mean, to have a 22-point lead with 10 minutes to go in the second half against Nevada. Nevada came back in their opening round matchup against Texas to win that game in overtime. They go on a 32-8 run after being down 22, including a 16-0 run to get themselves back into it. As the Bearcats, sitting as the number two seed in that South region, Virginia out already, Tennessee out already, Arizona out already.
Amazing.
And you look at Cincinnati, leading that game by 22 points, give up a 16-0 run, 32-8 run by Nevada. As Nevada and Musselman, they march on to the Sweet 16. Just an unbelievable collapse. And here's Mick Cronin after the game talking about that this is going to be one that's going to be hard to deal with for a long time.
I appreciate my guys. We've had an unbelievable season. Obviously, wanted to win the tournament and came up short today. Unfortunate. Give credit to for Nevada for the win. Game's never over, obviously, in the NCAA tournament, especially if you turn the TV on until the clock hits zero.
Yeah, it's never over.
No, it's not. I mean, dude.
But that's a stunner.
It was a big stunner.
I mean, up 22 with 10 minutes to go.
Crazy. I watched it.
The game was over.
The game was over. If you watch, I think it was like probably going into the second period, you're thinking, forget about it. Thanks for coming. See you down the road. Nevada. Wolfpack, bye-bye. No, that didn't happen. I mean, they just kept fighting. And this Nevada team, man, with Musselman, it's impressive. It's a bunch of transfers on this team. These are guys that wanted to shine and maybe, you know, left other programs because they weren't getting an opportunity or they get a chance to shine or whatever the case may be. And they end up getting together at University of Nevada and taking down a legitimate Bearcat team. That was a huge, huge victory. And talk about coming from behind. Good Lord.
Yeah, I mean, just and that is going to be one for Cincinnati where you look at that South region now. Cincinnati out, Tennessee out, Virginia out. Arizona obviously out, as we talked about Friday morning.
Yeah.
The highest remaining seed left is John Calipari and the young Kentucky Wildcats. And
they might be a favorite.
Yeah, I mean, I think they are. I mean, you look at, you know, the next round they're taking on Kansas State as they knocked off UMBC last night. But it's Kansas State against Kentucky, and then it's going to see Loyola Chicago.
How about Loyola Chicago
taking on Nevada,
yeah,
in the Sweet 16 to march on to the Elite Eight. I mean, you think about that region and what was expected of that region and how difficult we talked about that region being for Virginia when the brackets were unveiled. And then, obviously, sitting here now after 4 days of the NCAA tournament, after a couple rounds, Taz, the highest seed left is 5. You've got a 5, you've got a 7, you've got a 9, and you've got an 11. I mean, that's all that's left in that region. I mean, that's remarkable.
It really is. It really is. And I tell you, to me, that's what makes this particular tournament, I mean, one of the more exciting ones for me to enjoy as a fan. And I was saying earlier, man, about the parity. It just goes to show you, you know, like people say, well, how could this happen? How could this team beat that team or whatever? I mean, how can a Florida State team beat Xavier team when they're a 9 and Xavier's 1? You know, I mean, these things happen because I really feel there's just so much more. Look, sports evolves, games evolve, athletes also evolve. And I've talked about that before, you know, with different training techniques and nutrition and education to it. Time moves quick. Athletes move quick, and each year they're getting quicker and quicker and better and better. And there's a lot of great players on at all different schools. Sometimes the better players might be getting recruited to a UVA where, okay, I'm a stud basketball player, and I'm getting recruited to UVA, and I'm getting recruited to Cincinnati, and I'm getting recruited to these bigger, you know, bigger programs, better programs. Hey, dude, maybe I want to play right away. Maybe I want to get right in there and play right away. So you know what? What the heck? I'll go to a Loyola Chicago.
Right.
You know, I mean, I'm just saying it happens. You know, it does happen. You know this. I mean, it's crazy.
Right. It does. And I think what plays to those teams is the experience those players are able to gain, where they know they're 3 or 4 year players in all likelihood, and they're able to develop teamwork, able to work on their game and develop their games over the course of time, where their experience does play out. especially when you look at these one-and-done scenarios in the NCAA tournament. But you're right. I mean, it's not like these mid-majors are not getting a quality players. They are. Leonard Hamilton talked about it being a revolution this year's NCAA tournament. I don't know if that's the case, if it's just parity. It's an unbelievable NCAA tournament where right now you would probably look at Villanova and Duke as clearly the two best teams that are left standing at this stage to get themselves to San Antonio. But who knows if they'll get there. Duke has still got the number one seed in their respective region in terms of Kansas. But yeah. You're right. I mean, the one and done certainly has hurt some of these bigger teams. And we discussed it throughout the course of the college hoop season, Taz. There's no great teams, right? There's no great teams. Anybody can be beat. So when that is the case, maybe we shouldn't be all that surprised with the amount of upsets and the stunning games that we have seen up until the style and fashion. Cincinnati blowing a 22-point lead with 10 minutes to go. That is an absolute and utter choke job.
Crazy.
Xavier and Chris Mack not calling timeouts down the stretch when his team was swallowing the tongue. That's a bad coaching job by Chris Mack and Xavier. Put that aside, maybe we shouldn't be all that surprised that we're seeing this kind of an NCAA tournament where you're seeing one stunner after another.
Yeah, no, I completely agree, man. And I got a feeling, in my opinion, I think we're going to see this more and more every year as the tournament rolls along for the next several years or maybe forever. I mean, it's just because, like I said before, not to be redundant, athletes keep evolving in every sport. These college athletes coming out of high school, they are so prepared because of training, new techniques, different mindsets in nutrition, how to get faster, how to get bigger, and to do it naturally, how to get stronger. I'm telling you, we are going to see this more as fans in a tournament like this where there's more parity amongst a lot of these mid-majors where I just think it's going to keep happening.
And then we talked about a number of the close games and the teams that spit the bit down the stretch, but then you get to the teams that were blowout victors. And Texas A&M just handing it to North Carolina and winning that game by daylight. How about Clemson just utterly embarrassing Auburn?
Auburn was not even a
game in any way, shape, or form. And so you got some buzzer beaters, certainly. You got the Michigan unbelievable victory on Saturday night as they hit one at the gun and break the hearts of Houston as the Cougars missed some free throws late that could have sealed the deal. Unfortunately, they don't, and Michigan does march on. So the Wolverines representing the Big Ten march on to the Sweet 16. So you get some of those games. You get the double-digit seeds moving on, and then you get the stunning blowout losses by, as we discussed when we did our BCS last week, right? Blue Bloods, buzzer beaters, mm-hmm. or Cinderellas. You've got it all this tournament. Not a lot of Blue Bloods, but there are some still left. You've got a lot of buzzer beaters, and certainly you've got a ton of Cinderellas in the 2018 NCAA tournament.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I'm looking forward to the Sweet 16, Moose. I mean, we were talking about that off air, and it's going to be legit. And I tell you, man, I got to tell you, just on a sidebar, the one game I'm really looking forward to is your Orange against the Blue Devils. I might like the Cuse in that one. I'm just telling
really?
You.
Really?
I like the Cuse.
I'm stunned there. It's a, you know,
I love
what it
them,
is?
Man.
It's one of those games, Taz, right now where it's whatever happens.
No, it's all good.
It's been
good,
a great, yeah. Right, it's gravy. They go into that game with little to no pressure whatsoever. I know there are a lot of people that are rooting against Syracuse because all of a sudden there are a lot of haters out there that can't stand the Orange. But no, I'm not saying you.
No, how about the text I sent you? Share with the audience.
Yes, you said
how
congratulations.
Nice was that?
Yes.
Wasn't that nice of me?
It was nice. It was
That's
a nice text.
The things I do.
Yeah, I appreciate that. But Syracuse marches on to take on Duke, and that'll be a fun matchup. I'm looking forward to Kansas-Clemson.
Yes,
I think
yes.
That's a good matchup. I think that's another one. I think West Virginia against Villanova is a good matchup as West Virginia just disposes of Marshall last night and does away with the Thundering Herd.
Red Raiders, Purdue.
Yeah, that's another good one.
That's another good one, bro.
You're right about that. Yep, yep. Fun NCAA tournament. We want to hear from you. Are your brackets busted? Impressions from the weekend? And should we be surprised by the amount of upsets? Want your calls at 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Also, we got Clark Kellogg, CBS Sports College Hoops Analyst, going to join us at 8:25 a.m. Eastern Time. Taz and the Moose getting going on a busy Monday morning, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Got a great show on tap with you. Want to hear from you at 855-212-4227. Reaction to the first 4 days of the NCAA tournament. Doing More is brought to you by the Home Depot, the next generation of home improvement. With everything you need to do projects smarter, the Home Depot, more saving, more doing. Let's take a look at a player who is doing more for his team. Russell Westbrook, the All-Star guard, notched his fifth straight triple-double to lead the Thunder to a 132-125 win over the Raptors in Toronto. Westbrook finished with 37 points, 13 rebounds, and 14 assists as he continues to put on a show. And we've got a cavalcade of guests coming your way. Coming up at 7 a.m. Eastern time, we're going to talk to Sister Jean, the chaplain for Illinois Chicago, and she has become an absolute superstar around the country. She's all over the place. She's fantastic, and she's going to join myself and Taz in about 35 minutes. Looking forward to that. Coming up at 7:25 a.m. Eastern time, we'll chat with Eric Coleman, CBS Sports college football analyst and also SNY Jets analyst. We'll talk about the big move that Gangrene Taz made over the weekend on St. Patrick's Day, trained up to the number 3 pick. We'll get the thoughts of Eric Coleman. We'll give you our thoughts before that as well. And at 8:25 a.m. Eastern time, Clark Kellogg, as he is joining Taz and myself twice a week throughout the course of the NCAA tournament. CBS Sports college basketball analyst will join us at 8:25 a.m. Eastern time. AB, for the first time this week on this Monday morning in the house. Good morning, Andrew.
Boys, good morning. Your report's brought to you by Barbasol. Barbasol is finally making razors. That's a no-brainer. Check out the new Barbasol Ultra 6 Plus with six ultra-thin blades. Save on the Ultra 6 Plus at Barbasol.com. The South is the first region in NCAA tournament history to lose its top four seeds before the Sweet 16, although that didn't seem possible, with second-seeded Cincinnati up 22 on Nevada midway through the second half. But the seventh-seeded Wolfpack rallied for a 75-73 win. Head coach Eric Musselman:
that locker room right now, I've never seen anything like it in my life. It's the happiest I've ever seen. It's the happiest I've ever been in my life. I couldn't be more proud of a team and every single player in there. It's. I mean, this feeling's never going away the rest of any of our lives.
I just heard what he said, you know, and it's interesting. He goes, it's the happiest I've ever been in my life, which the guy was happy. I mean, he was banging on tables. He was high-fiving anybody with a navy blue Wolfpack shirt or hoodie or cap or wristband. And I'm thinking, he's got a beautiful daughter who they have her on TV a lot.
Yeah, it's a little
wasn't
much.
That your most – usually you say, you know, it was
about
the happiest –
married.
Right, well, that was the happiest professional moment of my life.
Well, the guy said that on the air. The broadcast – I forget who was doing the game, but they said that he told them that any college win has been better than any great NBA win because he used to coach in the NBA.
Right.
So that obviously – that I can understand.
That I get,
And maybe he just didn't give that caveat post-game. But it is odd people say that because – when you have like
you have
real
child.
Life things, should always be better than
like a child.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of important.
Yeah, I would think that having your first child is more important.
I mean, unless the child sucks and
Cincinnati.
But it's like Leon with Mikey B. Like he's got Leon,
My baby.
That's his cat. That's his prized possession. Mike, you would never say it was the greatest moment of my life. It was great. Besides Leon, it was the greatest moment of my life.
Exactly. Okay. Always comes number two.
By the way, did they follow him into the locker room this time like they did with Texas? Did you see that?
Cussing Jones.
I did not.
Yeah, and they even cut away from it. He drops one F-bomb, and they stay with it. Like, what are they doing?
F-bombs everywhere.
And then he proceeds to drop another F-bomb, and then they slowly fade out the volume. I mean, what are they doing?
Get out of the locker room.
What are you doing? Get out of the locker room.
It's real emotion there,
right? Right. Once he drops one F-bomb, don't you think that another one's coming your way? I mean, who the hell is directing that on Friday? It was a terrible job.
It really was.
So, I mean, get out of there. Get out. Pull the ripcord. Get out. Get out.
Incoming.
Right. Exactly right.
Maybe he would have been on the dump button immediately.
I mean, honestly, what are they doing?
I know. You're right.
So back to Nevada yesterday. That ties the second largest comeback in tournament history. They face Loyola Chicago now Thursday in Atlanta. Number 5, Kentucky. Number 9, K-State also left in the South. The Wildcats ended UMBC's magic 50-43. Florida State ousting Xavier, number 1 in the West, 75-70. The Musketeers led by 12 with 10:42 to go.
Terrible.
North Carolina run over by Texas A&M, 86-65. And Syracuse stunned Michigan State, 55-53. That damn orange zone defense, says Tom Izzo.
We got beat because we couldn't make a shot. And I thought we had some good shots.
was really disappointed. We didn't shoot very well from the free throw line.
Sparty missed its final 13 shots from the field, 8 of 37 overall from downtown. The Blazers fought off the Clippers in L.A., 122-109, pushing their win streak to 13. The Pelicans handled the shorthanded Celtics, 108-89. And James Harden broke T-Wolves' hearts in Minnesota.
Down to 60 seconds left to go in the game. Harden, a step back three, on the way and in! James Harden with his second three-pointer of the game, and it couldn't have come at a better time as the Wolves call a timeout with the Rockets up 9.
As heard on Rockets Radio, Harden had 34 points and 12 assists in the 129-120 final, which drops Minnesota to 8th in the West. Tonight against the Warriors, not the night Kawhi Leonard and his quad return to the Spurs lineup. Twin shortstop Jorge Polanco given an 80-game PED suspension. He says he took Stanozolol by accident in the Dominican Republic. He would like to appeal, but wants to get past the suspension as soon as possible. And Rory McIlroy with a three-shot win at Bay Hill, his first PGA Tour victory since September 2016. Tiger Woods ends up 8 shots back after being just one off the lead through 15 holes, but then drove out of bounds on 16. Guys?
All right. With that being said, where are we with the bracket, the Taz and the Moose bracket challenge, Mikey B?
Well, right now, Bogish is in first place, that will not last.
Boom.
It's Bilotti's. Bilotti's got it. It's locked.
Thank you.
Let's leave it as locked.
Pete the Body. Look at him. Two sides out of the Mount Jones. Look at him.
Pete the Body is okay.
His grand scores, he can get up to 150, which is double anybody else. But right now, it's pretty much a fight for last.
I'm close to third place, though, right? I'm like third, fourth?
Yeah, you're in third place. But again, it's all about those total points. Too many teams have been eliminated down the line, so those points will not add up.
Thanks for downplaying it, Mike.
Basically, any of us can buy breakfast at this point, minus Pete.
How about Leon? Where's Leon in this?
Leon's in last.
Yeah,
Bearcats.
The way it should be.
Him.
That friggin'
crushed
cat.
Him.
But does he have Kentucky in the Final Four?
Hold on, I have to.
Does he have money for breakfast?
Yeah. And how does he
buy
with
the Bearcats
paws?
Or the Wildcats?
He's got paws. How can he buy breakfast?
He had the Bearcats winning the whole thing.
How does he order breakfast with paws? Yeah. And he's got these.
Well, I'll ask him later today.
Does he go like to the little carts next door? Roll with butter. How does he do that? Meow. What does he do? He's a freaking cat.
Well, he's a very talented young man. But hopefully he doesn't have to buy his breakfast. And also Clark Kellogg in the mix to buy breakfast as well. I don't know if we actually brought that up to him.
I don't, yeah.
But he's in the mix
for
it as well.
But he made sure when we said nothing, he said it's all for fun.
He
right?
did.
Nothing's on the line.
Well, eating's fun. So Clark, if you do lose, we'll have to tell Clark when he comes on today.
Yeah, he was like, you know what, if it's all for fun, I'll get it.
But in fairness to Clark, he was not in our,
in our
breakfast bet.
So right.
He's trying to help all of us out.
He's trying to get a free meal. That's what we're trying to do up here.
I think Clark loves his appearances. I don't know if Clark's going to be sending a 50 to pay for breakfast.
Yeah, I don't even think Clark really likes me very much. That's my feeling, but that's a whole side note. No, I'm joking. I'm joking.
Well, I mean, who knows?
Everyone
Come on,
loves
man.
Me.
Everyone
no, loves I'll you. Tell you this, though. I'll tell you this, though.
I Everyone's thought, picks
I,
are terrible.
I thought I was in. The other day, I was braggadocious.
After day one, I know.
Yeah, Michigan State. God.
Well, everybody's tournaments, I mean, for the most part.
Except P, apparently.
Except for Bilotti, who had Providence in the Final Four.
Yeah, I mean.
Other than that, he's locked in.
Who do you have to win again?
Villanova.
Wow.
And who is your other Final Four teams?
Kentucky. Providence, Kentucky, Villanova, and Kansas.
Oh, that's a good one.
Man.
Look at you.
I had Michigan.
Cooking with gas.
I had Michigan right. State versus Virginia in championship game. Thanks for coming, Taz. See you down the road.
Okay. Steak and eggs. I'll take steak and eggs.
Steak and eggs. There you go. Steak and eggs.
All right, so there you go. There's the update. Not to spend too much time on this, but
let's move on.
There you go.
Blood away from Pete.
Leon's in last, and Pete the Body's going to win. He's going to be the champion. All and right. Who amongst our listeners who's winning?
Yeah, that's actually a good point. And speaking
who's going to be popping on with Taz and the Moose here after this tournament comes to an end?
Someone in the lead.
Right now, who's leading?
I think
give me a second on that
While he's doing that, I think we got to give a shout-out, Moose. We had a caller. I can't recall his name, and I feel bad about that. And if you're listening, good call. He predicted.
Caller Jones.
That's Caller Jones. Yeah. He said to us, Moose, you might remember this, that UMBC would defeat Virginia. He did say that.
Did he say? I thought he said he had a 16 seed beating a 1. Did he say UMBC?
I'm 99% sure he did because I asked him. Yes, I said, and I just to re-clarify, I said, so you're saying UMBC is going to beat Virginia? He said, yes. And
I remember the call. I don't remember it being. I don't remember it being that 16 over a one. But I do remember a call. But then he also predicted another 16 seed to beat a one.
He did? Okay.
He did. He picked two 16s to beat two ones.
I think the guy was from New Orleans or somewhere in Louisiana. I don't know why that's sticking in my head. Whoever you are,
give us a ring. 855-212-4CBS. We'll give you a credit and give you a pop on the air.
Yeah, man. I mean, I only got an apology because I kind of snickered at him. Like, yeah, get out of here, buddy.
I mean, right. A 16 is never going to beat a one, this and that.
Yeah, I downplayed.
Not only did Virginia lose, they got utterly thrashed and embarrassed in the game.
Yeah, no, they got smoked.
As Maryland Baltimore County does move on.
Yeah, UMBC. I mean, it's. You know, I'll tell you though. I don't want this thing to end. I feel like it's coming down not to the, you know, it's still now we're at the Sweet 16.
Right now,
I just want to keep going.
Right. Well, now you've got 6 days left of the tournament. You've got Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Then
right.
You got the following Saturday, and then you got Championship Monday night. That's it.
Sweet 16, Elite Eight, right to Final Four. Jones.
Thank you for the.
Yeah, just trying to.
That's correct.
Yeah, I'm just trying to. That's what.
That's what gets me excited.
Mikey V. 6 days left. That's correct.
Thanks, Mike. Mike, so who's leading? Mike, hold on. Who's leading it?
Donald Hurd in first place, but his total score is not going to most likely get him a win. Your best score right now is Stu Kovacs, who is a member of the CBS Sports Radio staff who signed up for ours.
No, nice. That's not fair. Why did he sign up? Did I clear this? Clear this?
We cleared it.
Do you know this guy, Stu?
I do. A nice guy.
Yeah. Well, I'll be the judge of that.
He's a nice guy. So Stu will be coming on doing some radio with us.
Oh, really?
Pretty much.
855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227.
It's like an inside job.
Yeah, he works here. Right. There's no travel. He'll be right here. It's 6:10. Stu, you ready to come on? I'm set, ready to go.
In studio, maybe.
Yeah, that's it. He'll be in studio, I'll tell you that.
Guy works shit.
I mean, that about it. 855-212-4CBS. That's your number to call. Lane Kiffin faking his bracket.
Mm.
We'll get into that next. Taz and the Moose with you, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
All right, time right now to Ask the Pros, where you, the listener, get to ask us a question brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros. Submit your question. Be listening later on in the show when we might answer your question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service. At O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every single day. We want to ask you at 855-212-4227, how much have you enjoyed this NCAA tournament? What do you think the storylines are coming out of the first 4 days? Do you love all the upsets? And which Sweet 16 matchup are you looking forward to the most? With that being said, you know, Taz, we oftentimes discuss Lane Kiffin, right? The former USC,
oftentimes.
Raider, Tennessee. I mean, we talk about him a lot.
We all have to. The guy's always around.
Right. Yeah. Now the FAU coach, former offensive coordinator at Alabama, outspoken guy. And last time we discussed him was when he discussed about hiring Charlie Weiss's son to be the offensive coordinator at FAU, right? And he oftentimes looks at the wives of his assistant coaches to see just how good of a recruiter they are, right? Based on whether or not he wants to bring an assistant in, based on how attractive their wife might be, because you know whether or not they can recruit themselves. Anyway, put that aside. as scatterbrained as that might be, here's Lane Kiffin going out, and he is unbelievable troll on social media, and in terms of marketing himself. Here he is going out there. The fact that as we get set to talk to Sister Jean at the top of the hour, he tweeted out the fact that he picked UMBC to beat Virginia in the opening round.
Yeah, listen, and there's and it just it blew up Twitter. In essence, I mean, people are going at him saying, "Nah, this is not it's a fake bracket. You wrote it in with pen," which is true. It's written in with pen. Some is typed in. It's kind of weird, and he obviously filled it out. It looks like the day after, right? The tournament started, I believe.
Correct.
And dude, he picked a lot of mid-major underdogs, and he only showed you the left side of his bracket. He had UMBC going all the way to become the national champion. So he was either bombed, pounding vodka and beers while he was writing this thing out, or he did it just as a joke to get a rise out of people. I mean, yeah, a lot of them are wrong, what he had. And he was wrong on UMBC because they won one game in the tournament. They didn't go all the way.
No, they didn't, but he wants to lay claim that he picked the first 16 to beat a one. So that's the yeah, – that he was the – you know, the great visionary to see that. It's all BS. I mean, it's all bogus.
Please, yeah,
I mean, that's what it comes down to. He might fill out and looked at what we saw on Thursday and then printed out a bracket because, as you mentioned, some of them are typed out. So clearly, you know, it was after the Thursday action going into Friday and writes in UMBC and has them going all the way and wants to lay claim that, you know, he had the 16 beating the 1. He also had Georgia State beating Cincinnati. That did not happen. He had Tennessee in the Sweet 16. I mean, there's a lot of things that Lane Kiffin had wrong, but he wants to lay claim that he had UMBC.
Yeah, and okay, Lane, you had it. And you know, this is a Bush League move. It's like a sixth grader move. You know, if you think of it, it's like stuff that kids do in sixth grade. You didn't write. No, I did. I did it after. I mean, before the tournament. I knew it. Look, here's proof. Look, look, looky, looky, looky. That's what Twitter's become. This guy's a head coach of a Division I football program.
Well, and here's the other thing that's troubling, right? We all like filling out brackets, and nobody wants to be wrong. But the idea of building yourself up and promoting yourself based on winning a, you know, making a correct selection of UMBC over just, okay, if I go on the idea that Lane Kiffin did pick it correctly, who cares? I mean, at the end of the day, who cares?
I mean, well said. Honestly,
I mean, who cares? I mean,
really, who gives a rat's ass?
That's fine. I mean, but there are people that take the brackets way too seriously where it's the end-all, be-all, where they have to be. And I get everybody wants to win, right? It's a competition. You want to win. Who that wants to finish in last, right?
No.
You'd rather be Pete the Body this morning than Leon the Cat. There's no doubt about it.
I don't want to be either.
Right. So, I mean, you'd rather be leading the way. However, with that being said, is Pete the Body basing his entire self-confidence and belief in himself based on the fact that he's leading the Taz and the Moose bracket challenge? No. I mean, he's a confident young man to begin with.
He should probably
recently
do the latter,
engaged, soon to be married. I mean, so Pete the Body is a confident young man as it is. And for Lane Kiffin, what it shows you is the inner workings of the mind, Taz, where he's buried at FAU. He's not at a big Division I program. He has to continue to try and grab and self-promote on Twitter and on social media, and he's going to lay claim that he beat UMBC where we know it's all hogwash and BS.
And most importantly, he's eyeballing his coach's wives. Yeah. That's not cool. Let's be honest, bro.
I agree with you.
He's checking out how their wives are. See what kind of recruiters they are.
It's disturbing.
What is that?
That is disturbing. How did you land her?
I'm still stuck on that. Right. I'm sorry.
Dexie Jones.
Right.
It's crazy.
Honestly, who exactly addresses that? How do you bring that up in the course of conversation?
Lane Kiffin, please, just work on recruiting. That's
right.
Keep your pie hole shut. Leave your fingers off the keyboard or your mobile device. Stay off Twitter for 10 minutes. And get your recruiting in order, sir. Just do that.
Now, with all that being said, Taz, you're exactly right about that. Now we look ahead to the Sweet 16, right? And here's where it was great when we did BCS last week, right? Bench cut start, Cinderella's, Blue Bloods, buzzer beaters.
Yes.
And we've gotten buzzer beaters, Illinois, Chicago, Michigan. We've gotten some heartbreakers, some tremendous finishes in these games. And that's fantastic. And obviously Cinderella's, and there are a few Blue Bloods that are left. Duke, Kansas, Villanova, to name, you know, three, Gonzaga, if you want to throw those into the mix based on the job that Mark Few has done. Now you're left with a Sweet 16 that I think is interesting and entertaining, but is it going to set up for great games, right? I mean, are you going to be locked in? Are you fired up at watching K-State and Kentucky for a chance to get into the regional final? They're there regardless. We all love Cinderellas. But then when you get to the Sweet 16 and you're expecting these Battle of the Titans, you're not getting a lot of Battle of the Titans. Syracuse and Duke, right? In name only, Syracuse not a great team. Duke's a better basketball team. I think it's an entertaining watch because of the 2-3 zone. But is it a battle of combatants? Probably. In name it is, but not in team. Syracuse is not a great team this year.
No, they're not. But I'll tell you, they play with a lot of heart.
They do.
And when you said it earlier in our first segment here of our program today, that now just to paraphrase that Syracuse Orange, they're long. They're a you know, big team.
They are.
Physically. And I got to tell you, that's what I like about the matchup with Duke, because Duke is one of the bigger teams, too, in this Sweet 16. So And to have these two battle of gargantuans go at each other, I think is going to be great. And I'll tell you, you know, I just think Syracuse, they're playing with heart. Not that Duke's not. I don't know. I don't have a prediction on who's going to win the game. I'd like to see Cuse win the game. But I'm really looking forward to that game, as I said earlier. I think that's something. I think the Clemson-Kansas matchup, you know, Kansas at a 1 and Clemson Tigers at a 5, I think that's an intriguing. That's probably the closest, right? What'd you say? I don't know if you just said that.
Yeah, 1-5.
Yeah, 1-5, right?
Right.
Yeah,
so. I think if I were to go to a region that I'd want to go to, it would be go up to Boston. It'd be driving north from where we are right now, Taz, right. And I'd want to see Villanova, in West Virginia, yeah. Texas Tech, Purdue. That's probably the region,
yeah,
if
the
I
East.
Were a college hoops fan, that's the one that I would go to. And I'm a Syracuse guy, as we've you know, as we've established here. You know, I Syracuse and Duke, I think it's an entertaining watch. I think Kansas and Clemson is. But I think Villanova, West Virginia, Jay Wright against Bob Huggins, and you look at Texas Tech and Purdue. Purdue at one point in time was, you know, the top-ranked team in the country. I think the Boilermakers coming out of the Big Ten, I think that's the best region of the four that's left standing.
Be tough to argue with that, Moose. I think the East is definitely, just looking at it, definitely the better games probably. I mean, I think the most, to me, I think intriguing games. I mean, I want to see that, I told you, that in the Midwest, that Cuse-Duke game. But the intriguing game is Loyola Chicago versus Nevada. Loyola Chicago coming in 11,
yes.
Yeah, against Nevada at a 7. Yeah, I just think that's very intriguing. You know, a mid-major and a team, and then in Loyola Chicago and a team like Nevada, as we said earlier, all just basically the bulk of them are transfers. So it's pretty cool to watch a team like that that weren't initially committed or at that particular school, but the Wolfpack, going up against a complete undercard team in Loyola Chicago, who was really Cinderella Jones.
Oh, sure. It is, and we're going to talk to Sister Jean here in less than 10 minutes, so looking forward to that conversation. And the other thing that comes into play, Taz, is the First Four, right? Each and every year, you have one of those teams that win in Dayton, Ohio, that go on a run. Syracuse is this year's team, right? They go on the run to the Sweet 16. At the very least, they win a round. But a lot of the times, they get themselves to at least winning two rounds, and we've seen some go on runs to the Final Four. So I don't know if there's something to be said for playing in one of those First Four and get a little bit of a rhythm to it. I know it's all about, we both know, it's all about matchups,
right,
and who you're playing in the next round, and maybe that won't ring true next year. But Syracuse carries that Dayton flag into their matchup against Duke in the Sweet 16 because they are this year's team that won in Dayton, Ohio. St. Bonaventure won in Dayton, Ohio as well. And we saw them lose to Florida in the opening round. Syracuse won in Dayton, Ohio, beating Arizona State, and we saw them win two rounds here to get themselves to the Sweet 16.
So what do you think here, partner? What do we do? Being that both of our brackets are completely
busted. We got to come up with something.
We got to do something. We got to pick, we got to be allowed to pick, right, Mikey B? I mean, can't we?
We're going to make some selections. We got to make some
selections.
Picks.
Yeah. What do we do? Put something on social media tomorrow, today, something? I mean, you know, what
well,
are we doing?
Why don't we do it tomorrow? We put something on social media. We make our Sweet 16 selections.
There it is.
How about that?
You're just problem solver.
You want to do breakfast number two again?
Whoa, easy. What do you got? I'm going for my lungs over here. What do you got me doing? Spending money left and right. Slow down, champ.
Pete the Body's like, yeah, I'm in.
Yeah, Pete's winning.
Hello, round steak and eggs.
Yeah, it's got Villanova.
Medium rare.
Medium rare.
Unbelievable.
Skirt steak.
It's brutal.
I don't know if I'd want to order
steak and
eggs from around here.
Listen, you're lucky if you get egg and cheese. I'm not going for the meat.
Yeah,
meat's
yeah,
more money.
Right, we're going for sandwiches.
Just getting cheese.
Honestly. Right.
Back. Ten? No. Yeah, back. All right, I give
him a fries. I'm like, Pete. Easy there. Right.
He's a large boy, too.
Wow.
Well, I need a lot.
He's just
saying.
He's feeling good about himself.
That's
Sister Jean is going to join us next. Taz and the Moose with you. A little Illinois Chicago chatter. CBS Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.